I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The following podcast contains adult themes, sexual content, and strong language. Basically, all the good stuff. Guys, and welcome to My Dad Wrote a Porno. It's the penultimate episode of series 4. I can't quite believe it. We're reading chapter 12 of My Dad Wrote a Porno. Alice and James, how are you feeling?
You're saying it with disbelief.
Relief.
Relief, is that what I'm detecting?
Relief, yes, okay, that's fine. What it is.
I think a lot of people are starting to share Alice's view mainly, that they don't really know what's going on anymore.
Right.
Sorry, are you guys telling me I'm right for the first time ever?
No. Oh. It's not that complicated. There's a spy and steals. Yes. Belinda's on the case trying to solve it. She's recruited James Spooner to try and figure it out. The suspects are Belinda, Bella, Giselle and Maeve.
No, I think there's more suspects than that, because we know that the special one's a woman because we were at the Bish headquarters, but I don't think Spooner knows that.
Oh.
You mean genuine suspects?
I mean reader suspects.
This is what we call dramatic irony.
Oh my God.
We, as the reader slash listener, know something that the characters in the book don't.
Okay, then fine. Yeah, it is quite complicated.
So guys, what have you been up to this week? Anything exciting?
I hosted an award ceremony last night.
James, anything that you've been doing?
Oh yeah, who was there?
Florence the Machine.
Oh.
Actually, she didn't bring the machine. She just brought a man on the harp.
Sure.
Which I think is when, like, Florence is travelling light. Also, Beth Ditto of Gossip fame.
Love her.
Love.
She'd be a good Mistress Sweet Juice, wouldn't she, in the movie?
She would.
We should chat to her about that.
Did you not mention that?
I didn't, actually, in the small talk. No, it was just kind of, hi, nice to meet you. It felt almost inappropriate, but now you've said it, perhaps it was a great way to make her acquaintance.
What did you say she called you?
She called me a classy bitch.
She is Mistress Sweet Juice.
I think it's because I was drinking sparkling water out of a wine glass, so...
Keeping it clean?
Yeah, she had
clean
me down.
Clean living, Levine, look at you.
But the reason I bring it up is because
was to show off, yeah.
Was to show off, primarily. But also to bring it back to our reason for being here is because I had to conduct an auction, much like the Asses and Donkeys Trust.
Oh my
fundraiser.
God, what was the charity?
It wasn't like the Asses and Donkeys
Trust.
Yeah,
what was the prize?
There were very few members of staff auctioned off for sex purposes.
So what was your style? Were you like, hello, this is the last ride to tell. I haven't got
no. Well, it was all very high tech because it's on iPads. So I had to just keep badgering them and being like, I know you're enjoying your beef Wellington, sir, but if you could just pick up your iPad and make a bid. And I also had to do bants where I was like, you know, like, oh, table 56, we know you're cheap. But obviously, I don't know anybody that sat at the tables. So maybe they are really cheap. I don't
know. Simon Cowell, wasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. What did you do?
I had a nice soup. Oh. Played on the PlayStation.
You've got to stop being a gamer.
I bought a PlayStation a couple of weeks ago. I'm loving it.
That Spider-Man game is amazing.
Spider-Man game. Fortnite. Have you heard of Fortnite?
No.
I can tell by that blank look on your face.
What's that about?
It's
you've got
like
2 weeks to do what?
No, it's... Yeah, I don't know why it's called Fortnite, but you're on an island. You're dropped on an island and you're playing online with other gamers. And I'm so shit at it, I die every time. And one time I ended up in a game with this, like, 12-year-old boy.
Right.
And he was just teaching me the game, and I was like, this is so weird. Online gaming's weird.
Do you know what? It's so weird you say that, because a friend of mine did the very same thing, possibly the same 12-year-old boy, but he was saying that it would be really annoying because he'd get called to go for his tea, or his mum would say, like, oh, you've got to come and do your chores or whatever.
And at one point in the background of his, I heard his sister come in or something. She was like, oh, for fuck's sake. I was like, oh, Jesus.
Oh, what, you're physically talking to them? You can hear them?
Yeah.
You wear headsets and you talk on microphones.
That's interesting.
So my pal heard them being like, Mark, get off that console and come and do the washing up. Like, literally, like, know about their lives.
One of yous has done the shits in the toilet.
Disgusting.
That's a meme, if anyone doesn't know what that was. Sorry, should probably preface that.
That was a meme.
it's a very famous one, Alice. You've probably seen it.
I actually have. That's one of the three that I've seen.
It is so weird, though, isn't it? I mean, yeah. You would just knock on some random door and be like, can I play with your kid, please?
Fucking hell.
Hiya, do you want to play Jenga?
Exactly.
Good car come out. To be fair, I've only ended up in that situation once. I was like, I'm not doing that again. So now me and my friend, like, just stay in our own little team. Yeah. Belinda Blinkton make a good game, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Yeah, I think so. She has to shag around mazes and stuff.
Yeah, it's all set in like Steel's Pots and Pans. Mm. And it's like a big immersive world where you can go to the maze and you can go to the... What are the other locations in the books?
Forces of Knightsbridge.
Exactly. You like win tokens to like buy riding gear.
Collect all the dildos at Epsom Hall with the Duchess.
Like coins in Sonic the Hedgehog. There's just dildos everywhere.
All those rings, it's just that jump through,
Great. I think we're onto something.
Well, as it's the penultimate chapter, why break with tradition? What happened last time?
Okay. So last time we had Helga and Belinda meeting, although Helga was dressed as a crone.
Yeah.
A lot of people have really benefited from the crone hag clarification, so well done you two.
Glad to be of service. And then Spooner was following them.
With a gun, we should say.
With a gun. Came to their hotel room, and then they realised that they're all on the same team, and then they started fucking.
They had a threesome.
On the coffee table, not on the bed.
Of course.
Very important detail.
And that's how we left them. But of course, this chapter is called A Factory Visit.
Yes.
So one would assume that, you know, we'll be... visiting a factory.
I mean, it's chapter titles like that that just make you want to keep reading, isn't it?
Yeah, they're not erotic per se, are they?
I'm excited to visit the factory, though, and I'm really hoping in this one we meet Slintz.
Professor Slintz.
What do you think he's going to look like?
Well, I think the description you said to me was quite accurate.
What, like curly hair?
Yeah.
Thick circular glasses.
Like the Weetos man.
Exactly, kind of balding on top, that sort of monk hairdo. Small, but squat.
Yeah.
Wearing probably a white coat, lab coat.
Yeah, I think what we're thinking is very sexy, you know.
Yeah.
A raw scientist masculinity.
Got you.
Okay, right. We're going in. Belinda Blinked 4, Chapter 12. A Factory Visit. James Spooner changed suits. He hated the smell of stale semen.
It does stink. It stinks when it's fresh.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
It's got someone...
We're straight in.
Someone
hell.
Once... we were making pancakes once. And
oh,
my
God,
friend
where's this going?
And my friend was like, smell this. Have you ever smelled batter?
No.
Jizz. It smells like jizz.
Really?
Really strong. Really badly. I'll make you some.
No, you're quite all right.
Please don't. Also, whose jizz? Yours?
Well, they call jizz baby batter as well, don't they? That's where it comes from.
Anyway, James Spooner changed soon.
Next time you're cooking pancakes or Yorkshire puddings, have a sniff.
Oh, Lord.
Okay.
I like the idea that he hates it, but some people love it.
Right,
so
yeah.
Doesn't he say that it's just not for him?
He hated the smell of stale semen. And no matter how careful one was, you always felt that a few splashes would linger in a visible place.
That's a bitch, isn't it, to get out?
I always get it on my clothes, like, not jizz, but like, I'll drop... You know when you drop something on your jeans and everyone's like, oh, hey, hey, yeah. Oh, hey. Really inappropriately as well, at like work and things. Like, what are you suggesting? I've masturbated in my jeans.
What, is there a previous for that, or...?
I feel like I have loads of jizz stories right early on.
Yeah, that's two. Let's see how many more we've got.
Chalk them up.
Helga had slipped away, as was customary by critters of her vocation line.
Pardon?
Eh?
Helga had slipped away, as was customary by critters of her vocation line.
Every time you got a little quiver in the voice.
It's just such a... I mean, it's weirdly written for a start, but also it doesn't really lend itself to being read out loud. Helga has slipped... Helga has slipped away. Helga has slipped away. What tense are we in? Helga has slipped away, as was customary by critters of her vocation line.
Basically, she's...
She's left the room.
She's left the building.
But she's FBI, so you just disappear, don't you? Like, you don't linger.
Oh, right.
You're gone, aren't you? You're just like, you're in the shadows.
So what was the point in her being there in the first place? What on earth was the point in that meeting?
Belinda was still sleeping, despite it being 6:24 in the morning.
Wake up, Belinda. You got stuff to do.
Those pots and pans will not sell themselves.
But there was no time for more playfulness, as it was the day of the factory visit. Belinda walked into the large industrial doors. Belinda walked into the large industrial doors with authority, reflective of her rank.
Doing it with authority is even worse.
But her professionalism was burst like an overpumped Lilo the moment...
You know the sort. A I feel like Rocky's had experience of that.
he always, whenever we went camping as a kid, which was quite often, he would always overpump that fucking light load. Well, you're like rock hard.
Oh, I see. Mm. I was going to say, how'd you overpump
it? It never popped, though. But Belinda's professionalism was burst like an overpumped Lilo the moment she saw her bosom gal pals Giselle and Bella.
All the suspects are in one place. Mm-hmm. Dum, dum, dum. What are they doing there?
They were always going to go to the factory visit, weren't they?
Oh, suddenly Alice knows what's happening. I'm sorry.
Maybe I'm the special one.
Giselle and Bella! We're back together!
Yeah!
She shouted. They all shrieked.
That professionalism is out the window.
Ah! Can you imagine? It work.
They all shrieked, formed a little circle, and sang.
Oh, okay, what do we
say? It's literally like Hocus Pocus. There is a bit in Hocus Pocus where the three Sanderson witches, like, dance in a circle.
I've never seen it.
Oh, it's so good.
It's so good.
So they all shrieked, formed a little circle, and sang. G for gin, T for tonic, R6 titties are supersonic.
Oh, God!
We don't mind men, we don't like fuss. We're the Glee team. Come and get us.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Okay, right. Send that to all of our phones so that we can sing along.
Wow, wow. Yeah, could we get the lyrics?
Yeah, get the lyrics to us.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. So we're all going to do it together?
Yeah, send them to us.
Okay.
Okay, we have the lyrics.
Okay. Mamma mia.
Okay, I'll cue us in, all right? Okay. They all shrieked, formed a little circle and sang.
G for gin, T for tonic, R6 titties are supersonic. We don't mind men, we don't like fuss, we're the Glee team, come and get us!
When did they make this song? When did they prepare this little ditty?
You don't usually have to say R6 titties.
No.
But good to have a little kind of inventory there.
We don't mind men. We don't like fuss.
That's a very important distinction, isn't it?
I feel like it's going to be the anthem of a generation.
So they bumped bottoms and flew their hands in the air, fluttering their fingers like falling raindrops.
Oh, beautiful.
What the fuck are they doing?
A miniature cough broke the joyousness.
Miniature.
And the women looked down at a smallish, white-coated...
It's Slints!
...grey-bearded gent.
Oh, he's got a beard.
I didn't expect a beard. Or maybe actually a kind of close beard.
Good morning, Frau Sylvester and Fräulein Ridley and Blumenthal. I am the eminent Professor Slints.
Okay, all right.
With the spirit of your grandma, apparently, within.
Inventor extraordinaire of steels, pots and pens.
Is he Jim?
What, where is he from?
He is whoever I fucking wanted to be, all right.
Two chapters left, let him have it.
Please follow me for your access all areas tour.
Oh, wow. Now he's very English.
Of our wonderful factory.
Oh, he said wonderful, so he must be German.
It's spelled with a V. A fluttering honeybee of an Irish lilt broke the forthright-handedness.
Okay, sorry, please help.
Maeve.
And what did she break? The forthright...
The forthright-handedness.
Forthright.
She broke through the...
She broke...
Familiarity, does that mean? No.
The forthrightness. He's just put the word hand in there for some
forthright.
Reason.
forthright.
But who was being forthright?
Slints.
Slints. Was he being particularly forthright?
Well, he's just kind of command. He was taking
control.
But the honeybee's about to cut through it.
It must be Maeve.
Please don't start without me, it said. The Glee team flicked their ponytails in unison.
Oh, come on.
As they swiveled to see little Maeve from Steele's reception desk totter towards them.
What? Dressed as a honeybee, apparently. Bee costume. What is she doing there? What is she doing there?
Well, James, what was she doing here? Belinda thought. It was all Bella could do to keep her tongue from polishing the tiles. Her mouth was so wide open and shook.
In shook. Bella was shook. Bella was shooketh.
In shook. Maeve barged past Bella, past Giselle, and even past Belinda, cocking an outstretched hand to the wizened clever clogs.
They like to be called clever clogses.
Clever clog eye.
Clever cloggy.
Cloggy. Clog-eye.
Maeve's got very confident all of a sudden, hasn't she?
But that's what they're saying. Now I understand the forthrighted handedness.
Was that her?
She's bloody knocked it for six, hasn't she?
You must be Professor Slintz, she said with determined plainness. Slintz viewed the newest arrival as the leaf of her homeland, and so couldn't believe his luck.
What does that mean, sorry?
Yeah, what?
Slintz viewed the newest arrival as the leaf of her homeland, and so couldn't believe his luck.
So what you've done is just repeat it, haven't you? You haven't really given me any insight.
What is the leaf of Republic of Ireland?
The shamrock!
Right.
Which is the four-leafed clover.
Right.
The luck of the Irish.
He saw her as lucky.
As lucky.
Right.
No, couldn't believe his luck.
Yeah, because he saw her as... A lucky shamrock, so he couldn't believe it.
Oh.
That being his luck.
Right, okay.
Yes, that makes sense because he said, four lovely ladies to show off to.
Oh. Oh, he must be lonely up there in the factory designing the pots and pans.
Surely he's not designing them. Surely there's a design team. He must be coming up with the technology. You wouldn't get a top professor to be like, oh, do you know what? I think a chrome handle.
Yeah, he isn't working alone. He isn't like Dick Van Dyke and Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, just on his own in some weird
shed. That's kind of how I imagine it, though. I don't know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Okay.
Truly scrumptious.
Four lovely ladies to show off to. It beat his previous life, fashioning cauldrons on the streets of Hanover.
Cauldrons?
He's a professor in cauldrons.
His previous life, what, in medieval times?
Yeah. Fashioning cauldrons on the streets of Hanover, he thought. Oh, so that is Germany.
So someone headhunted him from having bought a cauldron and they thought, that's bloody good, that.
Oh, he can fashion it well.
Yeah.
And they thought, you can be the lead inventor for Europe's second largest distributor of pots and pans.
Yeah, of course. Where else do you think they find them?
Yeah, logical.
The streets.
The streets of Hanover.
Okay, girlies, now we start.
Girlies. I would take umbrage with that.
Yeah.
Are you excited, Alice? We're going to go on a tour of a factory.
We're going to go room by room, aren't we?
We are.
We are going to go floor by bloody floor. There will not be an inch of this factory we don't see in this chapter.
We'll start with the handles. We'll end with the lids.
We
will end with the lids.
I will be able to sketch this factory, every single part of it, by the end of this chapter.
In fact, let's get a pen and paper. We're going to map it as we go.
Okay. Oh, he's got a right bag of tricks down here.
Has he?
There you go. Okay, we're ready.
Okay. So they've been in a room. Okay. So Belinda walked through those big doors, didn't she?
Yes,
so
do the doors.
So
great.
She's walked into those. Then they were in another room where they met Slintz.
Yes, okay.
And so girlies, now we start.
Great, okay.
As they walked through the thick metal doors, some more doors.
Do you want thick doors? It's very well protected.
Belinda was fascinated by her surroundings. The large-ish laboratory, so large-ish.
Large-ish. Is this to scale? You're doing it?
Yeah, bear with you. You should be able to build it from this.
It's like Grand Designs, look at that. The large-ish laboratory was bursting with life.
Put lots of stick people in there.
Okay, got it.
And she could see pots and pans scattered all over various benches.
Okay, benches.
We will post this on Instagram afterwards.
Of course.
I'm just doing a light scattering of pots and pans.
Okay, yeah, good.
Just like on the floor?
Well, they're on the benches, so I've done them on the benches.
Yeah, they're on the benches, James. Listen, please.
Sorry. Thank God you've got this map, because I'm already lost.
They're in the trenches, they're on the benches.
She could see pots and pans scattered all over various benches, with technicians busily turning on jets of flame.
Oh, wait. God. Bloody hell, all right.
Jets of flame? Do they mean just like Hobbs?
She's such a swot.
I'm such a swot.
She's got a tongue sticking out.
I'll literally never live it down if I don't do this right.
Carry on, she'll catch up.
various technicians busily turning on jets of flame and burning out their centres.
Of the pans? Oh, so they're testing the heat resistance of pots and pans?
Of metal, different types of metals, maybe.
Okay.
Oh, right, yeah.
Non-stick tin.
Precisely.
She had always admired factory workers and their specialist skill sets.
Patronising bitch.
But then she choked on her praise. There, in amongst the workforce, and behind a blowtorch was Agent Helga.
What?
Disguised as a welder.
Dressed as a crone. God's sake, what's she doing now? What is she playing at?
Helga is so annoying. Why is she always there?
Helga, why don't you just get back to your other investigation that you were supposed to be doing?
Helga flashed Belinda an eye that said, "Don't notice me. Don't bother me.
I'm welding."
A classic way of getting noticed.
Yeah. Behind the flame of a blowtorch. "Don't notice me. Don't bother me.
I'm busy."
And it was an eye Belinda immediately understood. This was what deep cover looked like, and it was turning her on.
What's it?
I mean, she noticed her straight away, so it's not deep cover, is it?
But I guess if you didn't know what Agent Helga looked like, you'd just think, oh, it's a welder.
How long has she been working there to get this level of deep cover? Does she flip between Amsterdam and the steel supply
point? Yeah. Every other fucking welder's
she's flying
going,
in every morning. It's kind of the level of disguise that your dad was in that time he came to our show.
Oh, my God, yeah. Have we talked about that?
I don't know if we have for a while. I mean, he dyed his hair a shade darker than it usually is.
Yeah. Which made it kind of ginger because he's got grey hair.
Bit ginge. And then he wore those wraparound kind of Oakley-style sports sunglasses.
Yes.
A very busy shirt.
And a Panama hat.
And a Panama hat.
He couldn't have looked more conspicuous.
Also, no one knows what you look like, so you are your own disguise.
My mum was so fucking livid that day. Do you remember? She was like, look at him.
He dyed his hair. Think about that process.
He takes his anonymity very seriously.
Clearly.
Well, he did have that look in his eye that said, "Don't notice me, don't bother me."
It's a bloody giveaway.
He knows that look well. This is what deep cover looked like. And it was turning her on like a spin wash at 40 degrees.
Ugh. What year is it? What women sit on a tumble dryer and get off these days? It's not like 1931. Do they even have tumble dryers? Early ye olde tumble dryer.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, as you is all employees of the company, I shall introduce you to the top secret untold wonder. That is the Trioxy Brillo range.
This is the moment. This is what I've been... Right, so everyone in that room, those five women, one of those is the special one and wants to see the Trioxy Brillo
so
range.
What? Belinda.
Bella.
Bella.
Giselle.
Giselle.
Helga.
Helga.
Gotta be a suspect now.
And she's Maeve.
And Maeve. And Maeve. Fuck.
One of them is not supposed to see what he's about to show.
Oh.
What if this whole time the Trioxy Brillo range is really underwhelming and Flint is like... We put some glitter on the panhandle.
The try means 3 for 2. What? That's the massive discovery and development.
I shall introduce you to the top secret untold wonder that is the Trioxy Brillo range,
he said. The women were salivating. As Slints shuffled over to the life-sized safe in the corner of the room.
Any safe is life-sized,
what do you mean?
Surely.
Yeah, what's what does that mean? It's hard to draw if I don't know.
A life-sized safe. So like maybe a safe that you have in like a hotel room, but it's life-sized.
But what do you mean by life-sized? Do you mean human-sized?
I was going to say one in a hotel room is life-sized. It's just in proportion for what size it should be. It's still life-sized, though.
True to life.
I can't help you then.
I think he means like a big safe, like okay.
Alice, it's open to your interpretation.
I've made it quite big.
Wow.
Let's see.
It's like half the size of the room big.
So it's a walk-in safe.
Yeah. It's life-sized.
Slints entered the combination and opened the door. Gold light flooded out from within as the women gawped in awe. Do you want to put some like light beams coming out of it, maybe?
Okay, sure. This is some of my best work.
Welcome to the future of pots and pens.
He's doing a lot of bloody build-up. This better be good.
The professor proclaimed. Brushing aside A2 sheets of graph paper containing the intricate blueprints, Professor Slints selected a deep saucepan from the sparse collection of gold leaf prototypes.
Gold leaf.
That is literally it, isn't it? It's gold leaf.
So not even gold plated? Because gold leaf, that's going to flake off, famously.
Why? What is gold leaf? What? That's what you stick on to things, yeah. Isn't it? And then it comes off.
Oh.
We don't use it for things that you're going to, like, put soup in and heat it up, do you?
Try oxypreno. It's got gold leaf on it.
This is so
jazzy.
Upsetting.
I thought you literally you said called glitter.
It. You called it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, hang on. Oh, no, wait. I don't think that's all it is.
Is the big thing that it's deep?
The Glee team and Maeve gasped in wonderment as he set it onto a metal tabletop. Next, Professor Slints took from the wall-mounted spice rack a larger-than-a-litre test tube full to the brim of the highest-quality Scotland Highland spring water.
Watch, he said.
Okay. I bet you £100 million that he pours the liquid into the pan and it turns into something else.
You think that's what the trioxybrilliant range does?
It's going to turn it into gold or turn it into...
Or treacle.
Treacle. Either gold or golden treacle.
Okay.
Prof Slints took the test tube between his fore and ring fingers.
Fore and ring fingers. Well, that's like five that. Fingers.
No, four with knee.
Oh, his forefinger and his
forefinger is like that. Ring finger.
That's very hard to do. That's like that.
You need the thumb in there somewhere.
No,
don't you?
You're doing it wrong. That's your forefinger and that's your ring finger, like that.
Okay, you literally can't really do
so
that.
It's your second and your like fourth finger as a little like.
Try and pick
as a plier.
Try and pick anything up with your fore.
I'm going to try and pick this glass up. Oh, that is not easy.
Oh.
Try and pick your phone up. Oh God.
It feels so weird.
People at home listening, try and pick a phone up with your fore and your... Oh, God.
Your forefinger and your ring finger. Your second and your fourth.
Prof Slints took the test tube between his fore and ring fingers and poured the Scottish Highland spring water into the pan. Upon making contact with the base, it immediately started to bubble and boil.
What?
Self-heating pans.
It immediately boils.
It's a microwave pan.
It's great for mulled wine.
Even a microwave doesn't immediately boil. So it's had a chemical reaction to the surface of the pan.
Right.
Right.
100 degrees like this. He laughed as he snapped his thumb and middle finger.
Thumb and middle.
Oh
that's
click.
Normal. Okay, fine. I'm so suspicious now.
He clicked.
So that's the special thing about the trioxybrillo.
That's the technology that they're trying to protect.
It's pretty fucking good technology.
That is amazing.
You wouldn't waste it on a pan, famously.
Why? What would you use it with?
That's like new science. You're not using that on your next frying pan.
Well, he must have learnt a lot on the streets of Hanover.
You're so indoctrinated. Do you hear what he said? What else would you use it for?
But can I
not like, what else would you want
spaceships?
To
spaceships?
An electric blanket?
When's that going to come in useful?
I guess if you were, like, camping or...
No, guys, you're not appreciating what a massive, massive breakthrough this is. There's some technology where when water hits the surface of this metal, it immediately boils. Like, that's insane. Like, that's, like, the future. Why are you saying camping?
How's it the future, though? No one's trying to do that.
Have you ever heard of that? It's not even on a heat source.
Should Dad be patenting this right now?
No, but Why aren't you more impressed? It's a pan on a table that's just boiling.
I know, but I wouldn't want that. Like, if I put my soup in the pan...
No, it's because the apocalypse hasn't come yet, James.
Think beyond your soup.
We could heat the world.
Oh, my God.
We could heat the world. Doesn't need any more heating. Thank you very much.
That's true.
Self-heating pans in 3 seconds. I give you... the Trioxybridolange.
Yes, we know what it's called. Thank
you. He's getting frantic, isn't he?
Oh, and look, Dad, the Trioxybrilla. 3 seconds. Try.
Oh.
He's actually thought about this. It's quite cute. After a few moments, the Glee team and Maeve burst into applause. Professor Slintz bowed. And when his head travelled back to 90 degrees, the Glee team were totally naked.
That's a kind of Trioxybrillo technology of their own. One bow, 3 seconds, close off.
So when his head travelled back to 90 degrees, the Glee team were totally naked. Belinda spoke first. The lioness leader of the pack she was. Professor, we are low urchins. And you are cleverer than Einstein. Please insert your DNA into us.
Oh, my God. That is puke-worthy.
The half-moon spectacles of Professor Slintz became foggy with desire.
Of course he's wearing half-moon spectacles. Do they even make half-moon spectacles anymore?
It's not like Harry Potter. He could feel his little one get a bit bigger inside his undergarments.
Oh, don't call it his little one.
And a bit bigger. Just got a semi. That's all he can muster.
Oh, God.
His mono Brillo range in there.
His little chub.
My, it had been a while. Designing market-smashing cookware takes its toll on the private life.
Cue violins.
Yeah, totally. Giselle continued... Yes, Mr. Prof Prof.
Mr. Prof Prof.
This makes me ashamed to be a woman.
Yes, Mr. Prof Prof.
Prof Prof. What are you talking about, you stupid woman?
Yes, Mr. Prof Prof. Proffer me your Sword of Enlightenment.
What are they talking about? Sword of Enlightenment? More like a pencil of doom.
Oh, God. And an IKEA pencil at that.
Yeah, one of those little short ones.
Oh.
That you have to constantly sharpen.
Slintz gulped. His little rascal was throbbing by now. Oh. And he
Why is he using such cute terminology for it?
His little rascal was throbbing by now. And he thanked all above us all for his long white coat.
Hide it. To hide the little hamster or whatever it's called. That sounds horrible.
Little rascal.
But what did he thank? All above us all.
He thanked all above us all for his long white coat. Bella finished the three-pronged seduction.
Yes, Mr. Brain. Oh. Let's be having you.
Mr. Brain.
Mr. Brain. Pinky
Bella,
in the brain.
We've missed you. Yes, Mr. Brain.
Mrs. Brain left a long time ago, didn't she, Bella? Mrs. Brain got a divorce and never came back and took the kids.
Widowed from Mrs. Brain.
Oh, God.
Yes, Mr. Brain, let's be having you.
That was it. Slintz threw his coat asunder and pulled out his salmon-coloured cock.
Oh, God.
Fucking hell.
Oh. Get that checked.
Oh, no. Cooked or raw?
Cooked or raw?
Smoked.
Oh, God. Why is it so pink?
Why is it so pink? Why is it so fresh off the boat?
Oh, my God.
It's getting fresh off the bone.
Oh, it just flaked away.
Oh, no. None of that.
None of that.
We've had that. So, Slintz threw his coat asunder and pulled out his salmon-coloured cock.
Oh, still turning the stomach.
The girls fluttered their eyelashes before pouncing.
It's a salmon supper.
Potted salmon. My nanny used to make tinned salmon sandwiches when we were kids.
Oh, God. Yeah. It brings a whole new meaning to them now, doesn't it?
It's going to be a salmon pate by the end. Pulverised.
It wasn't long before the whole factory was a pit of sin.
Oh, wait a sec. Let me get to the...
Yeah, make the pit of sin.
Okay, the whole factory.
Cover it in jizz.
Belinda was ripping down the overalls of a packaging engineer.
The guy's like, I'm just trying to do my job, love. Do you mind?
Where do you think they are? Because the packaging engineers can't be with the technicians in the lab.
Maybe they've all just flocked to the lab.
What, from everyone else over from the rest of the building?
No, I think they've flocked into, like, maybe the main warehouse.
Oh, OK.
OK, one second.
I mean, no one gives a shit apart from Alice.
Only because she's got a job now and she thinks it's dead important.
Belinda was ripping down the overalls of a packaging engineer, sucking and teasing his purposeless nipples.
Cosmail. Good knowledge, Rocky.
Thank you, Daddy. Hey, he knows the male body, doesn't he? Professor Slintz was licking Giselle's lid spotless.
Oh, God. Licking the lid. That gives a whole new meaning to having a yoghurt, doesn't it? Do you want to lick the lid?
Oh, those papaya slivers. Professor Slintz was licking Giselle's lid spotless, and Bella was on her knees, clutching for everything she could get.
Bella's crawling around the floor.
She's such a bottom feeder.
Poor Bella.
It was a magical environment.
Doesn't sound it.
The factory had been operating at a high turnover rate, and the deliverables had been getting overwhelming. This was just the type of relaxation any business was obliged to provide to the whole team.
Yes.
And they were glad of it.
Yes. Lovely.
Suddenly, Spooner bounded into the factory room.
Did somebody call IT support?
Still keeping up that pretense.
He yelled as he unclasped his braces.
Teeth or trouser?
I think trouser.
Did somebody call IT support?
No.
The congregation of orgy participants cheered as he ripped off his clothing. Bella joked at him in between the cocks of production director George McIntosh and Neil McDuff from Quality Control.
Womp, womp, womp. New character alert.
Production director George McIntosh and Neil McDuff from Quality Control.
Oh my God, so she's got two cocks in her hand and she's going at them like they're udders.
Well, if we did spoons, we'd be on hold with the help desk for 3.5 hours waiting to get our issue resolved,
laughed Bella.
Come here, you big-breasted beauty.
He's horrible.
I'll give you a first contract resolution, all right?
Oh, God. Can we not use all these gross business euphemisms? Just speak normally.
Spoons squeezed in next to Macduff and McIntosh. As Bella licked and tickled her way through the trilogy.
Oh, my God.
It's not quite Lord of the Rings, is it?
No. The three dick trilogy, fucking hell.
This is the trioxy version of, well...
Dicks.
Yeah.
It's the
tricoxy.
Oh, I knew there was something in that. That was some real collaboration there.
By now, Belinda was sitting on Slintz's dinky face being aroused.
Those half moons, God knows where they've gone.
Dinky face. He's either got a big head with like the face just in the middle, or he's got a little pea head.
By now, Belinda was sitting on Slintz's dinky face, being aroused by his millions of grey whiskers, each with a mind of its own.
Wow.
That's horrid.
Giselle was having her way with a burly colander puncher.
I'm sorry,
beg your what?
Not a job.
A burly colander puncher?
Not a job. Colander
puncher? Well, who's going to punch those holes in those colanders? Come on.
A machine? Talk about giving the trades back to the tradesmen.
Yeah.
How do you spell colander?
C-O-L-A-N-D-E-R.
Yeah.
Why? Oh, she's designating
colander punching area.
Right, sure.
What I can't wait for is Alice's map to go on Instagram, and then within about 20 minutes, a listener to have made an incredible thing on like a computer with Photoshop, and it's really detailed, maybe a 3D one that you can go inside. Virtual tour.
I worked really hard on it.
Giselle was having her way with a burly colander puncher, and the visored Helga was coming in her best Scottish accent.
Sorry.
Who was what? So many people at this orgy. This is the largest orgy we've ever had.
A lot of people. Helga was coming in her best Scottish accent.
Right, so what's American, Dutch, Scottish? It's a lot of accents.
It was a heave-ho of bodies and moisture.
That's an orgy. That's a great description of an orgy.
But where in the devil's wasp nest was May?
Alice!
Stop it!
Alice!
Stop!
Alice!
Where is she?
Belinda blinked.
What the
no.
fuck?
No, no.
What
That's
flying
the end
fuck?
Of the chapter.
Oh my God!
Where is the golden pan?
James is nearly choked. Hang on, the fucking safe's been opened. The blueprints are in there. The graph paper blueprints!
He cast them aside. He didn't really care.
Oh my God.
Shit! Shit!
And they're all just fucking.
Oh my God.
As John Ronson would say.
It's still not quite the reveal though.
Yeah, no, but like but everybody come on. Else is like.
No, but the shagging. Next chapter could be like, oh, there she is. She's under that welder. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Maeve. Maeve!
So we actually might find out who the special one is next chapter.
Oh my God.
Fucking hell.
That was great.
So wait, everybody else is accounted for?
Well, we just heard that Helga was coming in a best Scottish accent. Giselle was with the colander puncher.
Bella's got three cocks in her mouth.
Yeah, Neil Macduff, George Washington. No, sorry,
George Washington.
George Hamilton, George Washington.
George Harrison.
George McIntosh. And Spooner, and Belinda was on Slintz's face. Do you want to know what the next chapter's called?
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The last chapter of Belinda Blinked Four. Oh,
I can't believe
is The Wicked-ish Bish.
What?
The Wicked-ish Bish.
That's good.
That's oh bloody good. God. I don't really know what it means.
I could see in your eyes. You were confused.
I thought it was going to be called Maeve is the Special One or something.
No, The Wicked-ish
Yeah, no, I
bish.
Heard, yeah.
Oh.
So... join us next week for the last episode of My Dad Wrote Porno Season 4.
Yeah, now's the time to get your final bets in. Who do you think the special one is?
Oh, my God.
We may not find out next week, but, like, here's hoping.
Oh, come on, we're finding out
This is
next
the closest
week.
We've ever been to a reveal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, fingers crossed. And we're going to do a listening party next week for the finale.
Yes, of course.
So, how do people take part in that?
So, 8 p.m. GMT. Around the world, everyone presses play at the same time.
So they will have to save it.
Well, you know how some people get together and, like, have parties and make dinner together and listen to the episode together? Yeah, so save it for the evening. Mm. We'll all get on Twitter, at Dad Wrote a Porno, and we'll figure this out together. Will we find out?
Are you going to cook for us?
No.
Oh. Great.
In the meantime, please do get in touch with us and be on Twitter for the listening party, of course. It's at Dad Wrote a Porno.
Instagram is mydadwrote a.
We're on Facebook, as always. You can email us, mydadwroteporno@gmail.com. We've got a website, mydadwroteporno.com, if you want to sign up for the mailing list. And thank you to Acast for hosting, as always.
I mean, there's only really one way to sign off this week. I think we're all on the same page.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay. Song sheets at the ready.
G for gin, T for tonic. Our 6 cities are supersonic!
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.